passed out a paper, The Principles of Leadership and Submission. Now, we are in a section looking at women in the Bible, and they are talked much about in the Bible. Does anybody need one of those, if you have one? What's that?
What page are
it's 362.
Okay.
Anybody else? You got, no? And we, oh yes, but good. We're not going to be on this. I'm going to pass another sheet out here real soon that will be in more. But, you got it? Not sure?
Hi there.
So really what we're talking about in reference to this is rule. You got yours? We good? You need one? Yeah. You need one? Yeah. We're talking about rule or order. How to maintain order is what we're really dealing with. Good. Amen, brother. Brother John Haley's become a really good student. Amen. That happens after you teach a class. You become a good student. Amen. Did I? I didn't get you guys set up, did I? You guys are front row students. I should treat you better than that. Amen. 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 And so, did it go there? You think? Amen. So, we hear the word submission, and it really troubles us. But and we always consider ladies when we hear that word. But we are all to be under authority. We're all to be submitted to those that have the rule over us. Amen. So keep in mind, our flesh by nature is unruly. And the way you can tell that, just in general, just look at kids. Amen? And kids are unruly, not because they're taught to be unruly, though some parents might not be real good at rules. And so, see, some parents actually think kids are good in heart. And if you leave them alone, give them a good environment, they're going to be just fine. No, they're not. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Amen. And so a child comes out of the womb speaking lies. They're not speaking truth. They're manipulators. Amen. They only care about their own needs. Right? They don't care about your sleep. They don't care how much money it costs for you to give them what they want. They don't care. They're total selfish individuals. But wait a second. So are we. Right? This is the heart of man. This is the heart of man. Amen? And so in order for us to function in life, we have to be under authority. There has to be rule given to us. Right? Because we will, by nature, do what we can and get away with everything we can to please ourselves. Amen? And so with that in mind, when we talk about submission, we're talking about rule. And I want to give you this real simple definition for you to understand what submission is. Submission simply means falling under the mission of the one that's over you. That's it. You're falling under their mission. And ultimately, God has a mission, and we are all under his rule, right? And so to not be under his rule would be in rebellion to his rule, and that's where most of mankind is. They want God to be under them. They don't want to be under God. And the little phrase in our country, one nation under God, is under attack because the reality is that most of our nation doesn't want to be under God. Does that make sense? And so that's where we're at today. This is why we need authority. So we happen to be in a section on women. The Bible does speak of the submission of women, so we're going to deal with that a little bit today. Let me just give you a couple of fill-in-the-blanks. We've already covered this last week. Number one there in the garden, Genesis 3:16. Thy desire, speaking of the woman, shall be to thy husband. We talked about that. We kind of got stuck on that last week a little bit. Let me give the second one, then we'll talk just for a minute. He shall rule over thee. He shall rule over thee. What was the reason given for this order? What happened? Yes, come. She was deceived when? Yeah, by Satan in the garden. Was the man deceived? No, the Bible says he was not deceived. He did it on purpose. Say, what's worse, being deceived or doing it on purpose? Well, that's a really good question. But from God's perspective on that original sin, because the woman was deceived, he said she is not going to be the one in charge. Right? And now she'll have her husband to rule over her. Sorry, ladies. You can blame me for that one, amen. It's not my fault. I'm 6,000 years removed just like you are, amen. I'm just trying to do my best with what I've been given. And so what God has done is he has established an order in everything so that everything can be done decently in order. The word I want you to key in on is in B there, 1B, he shall rule over thee. All rule means is that you establish rule. You establish an order to things. You establish how things are going to be accomplished. You put rules to things. Everybody loves rules, right? As long as they're the one making the rules. Nobody really likes rules when they're not the one making the rules. But sometimes they do because they see the reason for it. But there needs to be rules. If you don't have rules in your own, in your home, it's chaos. Judges 2.0 is where we're living today, where every man did that which is right in his own eyes, right? Judges, yeah. We're back at it. Every man. I mean, today, if you don't like, you know, what people call you as far as gender or what you were born with, you can just change it. Yeah, willy-nilly, you know what? I'm a woman. I mean, that's ridiculous. It is. But that's what happens when every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Like it or not, God made male and female. There are only two genders. You're one or the other, and you can't choose. You didn't choose. God chose, and it just is what it is. You need to accept it. Amen. Amen. If you don't like that, your problem's not with me, who is, I'm just stating the truth. By the way, I'm just following the science. I'm just following the science. It's called biology. Amen. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry. You need to go talk to the chief biologist. His name's Jesus Christ. Amen. So that's just the way that it is. Same thing with race. I like all things going out. People say, if I can change, just name my gender, I can name my race. Absolutely. I'm made up of a lot of races, and so are you. Amen. Whichever one benefits me the most of the time, man, that's what I'm choosing. Amen. If I'm Elizabeth Warren, man, I'm Cherokee. I'm Cherokee for that time. Man. I know it's .00000 something. Amen. But hey, it's in there. Amen. If I get me a monetary break over it, I'm Cherokee, amen. I'm sure there's some Indian somewhere in me, amen, just like for you and everything else. So the point, that's where we live today. We are in the time. You can't say that I'm not this because I said I'm this. I mean, the Supreme Court nominee, when asked about how to define woman, said, can you define a woman? No. That's where we're at today. The chief arbitrator, the person who's up for one of the positions of chief arbitrator in our country can't even define woman. Anyway. Sure.
But I'm white. I'm of the Caucasian race, but I want to be Asian, so that's all right. She wouldn't answer.
Sure. No, but that's the day we live, and I get it, and I know it's for a judicial nomination and all that, but she could have done a whole lot better even answering from that perspective. But the reality is she can't. And why can't she? Because of who she is. And she has taken all the rule that is normal in a God-created world and has thrown it to the side. And now everything is on the table. And that's the day that we live. Amen. And so what we don't want to do as Christians is do the same thing in our homes. There is rule to everything in our lives. There is rule. And if we reject that and buy into this new culture, then it's going to be a train wreck. It's going to be a train wreck in our churches, our homes, our workplace, our society, our everything will be horrible. Secondly, let's look at, give these couple, and then I'm going to pass out another handout. In the home, in our passage, let's go ahead and turn over there. Let's just read this. Someone turn over to Ephesians 5, 22 through 24, and then 1 Peter 3, 1. Okay, and so it kind of just sets this again, just setting what's being talked about in general, the order here, and this whole passage just really just drips of that thought, whether we're talking about the home, the husband and a wife, or we're talking about the church with the church in Christ, the members thereof, there is an order to it, and there is a submission aspect to it and a rule aspect to it. Anywhere there's submission, there's rule. And that's just kind of what we see here. So in A there, 2A, wives, submit, right, yourselves unto your own husbands. And then B, the husband is the head of the wife. And so that states order. By the way, I like what it says here in the notes. Subjection does not mean inferiority. Amen. It's not showing, this is not an order of importance. It's just talking about a structure. And a lot of times we see this, we look at structure, we'll even look at on a business aspect, and we think that you know, the people doing the work, they're less important than the supervisor, the manager, the director, the VP, the president, whatever. We think that shows an order in structure. But a manager really doesn't accomplish work. They're just there to keep order, right? They're managing the process. They're managing the whole thing so that at the end of the day, the product that the business is manufacturing or the service that they're there to generate, really, once you leave the hands-on side, it's all now. Think about how a company is structured and how much effort it takes to keep that thing right, to keep the order right. Now, why do we need that? Because one who's doing work, the labor aspect, if they can get away with it, they won't do any work. Is that right? Why do you have to have a lead or supervisor, a manager, and all that? Because if there wasn't that, they clock in, do nothing all day, and leave, collect a paycheck, and get no work done. The goal of every worker, and I know as Christians this shouldn't be the case, I get it, but the goal of every worker in a carnal sense is to do as little as possible. Right?
I had a guy tell me one time, it's my job to mess around and it's your job to stop. So
apparently you were leading a crew.
Right.
So leading a crew, not primarily your job to do the work, right? And so it is the worker's job to get as little as done as possible. And it is the manager, lead, supervisor's job to get as much out of them as possible. Right? That's why it works. Why? If you're going to be at work, don't you want to be productive? No, mankind does not want to be productive. Mankind seeks the path of least resistance. It's true at work. It's true in the home. That's why parents don't discipline nowadays, because it's hard. It is. It's hard. It's consistent, and no one wants to do it. Who wants to be the bad guy? Well, it's not being the bad guy. It's actually loving your kids, right? If you spare the rod, you actually hate your child, the Bible says. But mankind thinks that it's the easy road. And for the moment, it is. Most parents do this. I didn't see that. I didn't see little so-and-so just smack that other kid upside. I didn't see it. And because I didn't see it, I'm not responsible to act upon it. No, there's sins of omission as well as commission, amen? And so the point is, though, that mankind needs to be ruled. Since sin has come into our world, mankind needs to be ruled. Amen. All right, so with that in mind, can you help me out, brother? Since you're here to help, amen. Actually, go ahead. On this side, if you'll take care, give everyone a copy of that, that'd be great. This is a sheet I put together. I've actually changed it a little bit just through time. And it shows the rule of how order works. And I want to give you this to challenge you just a little bit today. You're very welcome. Thank you. Good morning. Good seeing you. All right, so this is just a little chart. It's not totally exhaustive. It's just here to think through a few things on this area, this thought of rule. All right. We know in Matthew 28, the Bible says that all authority is given, or all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. The Bible actually says there in Matthew 28. In your Bible, the word power can mean one of two things. There's really three, but two main things. One, it could mean power derived from authority or power derived from... Did everybody get one, by the way? We all good? Or power derived from strength. Power derived from strength is the Greek word dunamis, and it's like dynamite. That's dunamis, dynamite. It's just brute strength. I'm going to get something done because I'm going to force it, right? That's dunamis. Then there's power derived from authority. That word is exousia. And that is power that's invested in you, power that is given to you to accomplish something. Like for a pastor, he's been given power, grace by God to shepherd, lead a church, a flock. A mom and a dad are given exousia, power to lead that family. There's grace given. That's authority. You've been given authority to accomplish those things. Those two things are there. This particular word is exousia. There is authority. And if you look at the word authority, the root word of authority is the word author. Author, the author of something matters, right? And the author of life is Christ, right? That's what Colossians tells us, that all things were made by him, right? John tells us this as well, that he is that Christ, he is the creator, right? And I know it's Elohim, Old Testament, all three parts of the triune nature of God are present in creation, but we find New Testament that Christ is actually credited with the being the Word. It's the Word spoken. He is the mechanism by which the triune God actually authored all things. He created all things. And so we see that in the scripture. So Jesus here, he says that all power is given unto me in where? Heaven and in earth, right? We know that text. So he has all authority. That's why he's the judge. He has all authority in heaven and in earth. In all creation, as we know it, in our creative universe, he has all power, all authority in heaven and in earth. Since sin has entered in, mankind is working against him, right? Because sin tends toward chaos or rebellion, right? That's where sin goes. We, as in our carnal state, are rebellious in nature. We're against authority. We're against God. We're against order, amen? And so with Jesus, he's been given all authority. And what he does to rule this world, he then disseminates that authority. He's been given authority. And in that text there in Matthew 28, he then says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. It's Christ taking the authority he has, and he is now disseminating it into others, right? And so in each avenue of realm or authority, you have somebody that it's been given to directly from God, and then it goes down from there. That's how authority is disseminated in our world. Look at our passage there, just to kind of show you a couple things, to show you how I put this thing together and give you a little thought on this. Look over at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 is wonderful in reference to how the local church is put together and how it operates. It says here in Ephesians 4, who wants to read verse 11 and 12? Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. Mikey, you got it? Want to read it real loud? Go.
And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers.
Verse 12.
For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Okay. So we're going to focus on the last three there. Those are the offices that are in play today, right? The evangelists, pastors, teachers. And it says God has given them as gifts to the church, right? He's given them, and this is the purpose that they were given. It says for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And I'm sorry, first it says for the perfecting of the saints, perfecting, maturing. So the leaders in a church environment are there to edify the body, to perfect the body, to mature the body, to preach the truth and encourage the growth thereof and disciple and help the other saints come to that place that they're mature. Amen. And so it's very important. So we find that the evangelists, pastors, teachers were given that power, given that authority by God. Christ took his authority. He gave them now authority, and they are now to rule. And we even see this in other texts of scriptures that they're to rule well. And 1 Peter actually says some things reference to that as well. We're not going to be totally exhaustive of that, but they are given for a purpose to the church body. Now, the question becomes, if you look down at the fourth thing down, do they have power to remove themselves from that authority? Because this always becomes the issue. If you have an authority and you've been given authority, do I have power, if I'm under authority, to remove myself from that authority, right? I remember I was at a Goodwill a number of years ago. And I'm looking through their books because you can find some really good books at Goodwill. Books and ties. That's why I go to Goodwill. Amen. Anyway, I was going through some stuff and I found this book and it said, this is the title, How to Divorce Your Parents. And I was like, oh, I'm taking that one. I bought that. I don't want that thing to be left here for someone else to buy. Amen. No way. That is not a good book. Amen. How to Divorce Your Parents. Amen. So I think I might even still have it back there on my shelf. And so anyway, in every reference, in every segment of you know, area of rule, you're going to have those that are under that authority. And the question has to be asked, can they remove themselves from that authority? Right? So in this context, can an evangelist, pastor, or teacher remove themselves from the authority of Christ? No, absolutely not. I cannot be the pastor God wants me to be if I remove myself from his authority. We would agree, right? So I cannot. I am under his authority. What if the people want me to go against the word of God? Can I do that? Whoa. Many are doing that today. They've wrongly put themselves under the authority of the people when the reality is I don't work for the people, I work for God. I don't get my marching orders from y'all, I get them from God. Does that make sense? And so can I change who I'm under, who's ruling over me? No, I cannot. And if I do, I'm wrong. And I will be held accountable for that. Amen? And there will be some measures coming that won't be good for me. Now watch this. What if you find yourself under a corrupt authority? Well, that's a different section, which we're going to cover here in a second. But there are means to deal with that aspect if you find yourself under a corrupt authority. We have means to this. So I am just as much in line with, as everybody else, to be called to account if I go corrupt. If I start doing things that are not right, Matthew 18 can be in play. You all can come to deal with me just like we can come deal with all of us. I'm just a church member just like you, amen. And we all have to do our part. We are all under authority. Does that make sense? Let's real quick, because we only have like 8 minutes. I want to give you this list, and that way you can take and further study it. Second line there, husbands and wives. We've already read that passage. God has given from Christ authority in the family. He's given the order as it comes through the husband to the wife. And then, of course, the kids are under both. And so this is the grace given, the authority structure, the rule structure that's given. By the way, Proverbs is wonderful in how that structure works, especially chapter number 1. The purpose of this authority is to love and grow her, meaning what's the purpose of the husband's authority over the wife? To love and grow her. Remember, the husband is to love his wife. The Bible tells the wife to submit under that authority, right? But the husband is to love his wife. Now, why does a husband have to be commanded to love his wife? Because sometimes it's hard to love our wives, right? Because they're not always wanting to be under authority, and we're both carnal in nature, which is rebellious to start, amen? And so there's tremendous issues there with this, but for it to be ordered right so that Christ can be who he needs to be through the family, we as men need to love our wives and take it upon ourselves to seek to love them and help our wives to be everything God wants them to be. Amen. We are there to help them be mature and develop and to be full functioning as God sees it. Amen. Now, does a wife have power to remove herself from authority? Some of y'all are going to have different variations on this and all that. All I'm going to say to you is you need to seek the Lord on it. Amen. And if we want to talk privately, we sure can. But no, a wife should not, right? Till death do us part. It should have been a part of your vows. Amen. Because that is a biblical understanding of doctrine. I put a little slash there. Yes. Is it possible? Yes. Look at 1 Corinthians 7. Is it possible for a wife to remove herself from her husband's authority? Now, I'm not saying that it's the right option typically, but does God allow for that? Well, he at least mentions it in 1 Corinthians 7:10. It says, and unto the married I command, yet not I, Paul speaking, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. Let. It's a sign of will. Don't allow yourselves. Don't give yourself to permission, ladies, to depart from your husband. But look at the very next verse, verse number 11. What's it say? But and if she depart. What's that mean? She can depart. God's not saying that it's necessarily the best course of action, but it is a course of action, right? But and if she depart, it's recognized. It's understood to be the case. Let not the wife depart. And by the way, the husband also is not to put away his wife. And that language is different for a reason. We can talk about that later as well based on a bill of divorcement, what that all means. Now, what if you find yourself under a corrupt authority, ladies? What if you find yourself under a husband that is corrupt, that's not leading you as God would have you to? Well, it's very clear throughout the rest of this text here in 7, all the way through 17. It says verse number 11, but if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. Let not the husband put away his wife. And it goes on from there, the opportunities as a wife that you'll have. The ultimate goal in life is not for us to be comfortable. What's the whole reason given that ladies seek abortion? Well, here I am, I got pregnant. If I have that child, it's going to be an inconvenience to me. It's going to be a financial, big time financial hit. I'm not set up right now to raise the child, all that. So the reason given is it's going to be hard on me, right? Well, for a lot of times a lady, I want to leave because my husband's not who he's supposed to be. He might be lost, have all these issues. I'm going to leave because it's better for me. I get it. The Bible says this. If you depart, remain unmarried for the purpose ultimately of being reconciled. Right? And so while you've left, now your whole ministry is the salvation of that bum. Amen? What messes that up? Some of you aren't laughing. I'm sorry. What messes this up, Deuteronomy 24, is when that guy goes out and gets remarried. Now, once he's remarried, there's no opportunity now for you to marry because it just doesn't work that way. Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4 tell us that. So all I'm saying is there's order. In everything, there's order. Everything, there's order. Even in reference to this, your particular situation, you may want to talk through and all that. We can do that. But just know there's order even to the husband-wife relationship and the things given there. Christ and the church. The church is under the authority of Jesus Christ. Can we remove ourselves from that authority? No. A church that's not under the authority of Christ is a church without a candlestick. It's not a real church. That's what Revelation says. Revelation's not mentioned here, but that's what it says. All right. Church members. Can church members remove themselves from a church? And I mean local church. Can they remove themselves? I put no yes, because it's actually God that sets the members in the body as it pleases him. In other words, I don't have freedom to choose whatever church I want. I have to be led by God to the church he wants me to be at. And then I need to work through whatever issues there are. I don't just run because there's issues, right? No more than I would in a family situation. But I just need to know where God wants me to be. Does that make sense? And so there's a bunch of stuff given here. By the way, in the scripture, did anybody ever leave a church? Yes. Silas. He was a member of the church of the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. Amen. Got it. And he left to join the First Baptist Church of Antioch. And then was sent out with Paul as a missionary to go on the second and third missionary journeys up through Galatia, Asia, Macedonia, Achaia. Yeah. Right? So he did. He changed. And by the way, there's a lot of people that have changed. There's a right way. I've been meaning to write a paper on the right way to leave a church. Because there is a right way. There's a right way to do it, right? We don't leave because there's problems, but we do leave as God directs for ministry's sake, right? And it's recognized, understood, that there's a right way to leave. Sometimes, though, there are doctrinal issues. And can two walk together except they be agreed? Can I engage in ministry with the church that's engaged in false doctrine? No. So that's another reason you're going to leave, but the church ain't going to be happy with you because it's a doctrinal issue. Does that make sense? So there are reasons. There are, but we just want to make sure we're following the Lord in these things and we're careful with this. Yes.
Well, in that situation, really, it's I didn't leave the church. The church left me. Or the church left me. I'm staying where the Lord right. had me. They are the ones that move.
Yeah.
So then, you know, being under the authority of the Lord and then vacating that position, the Lord would move me.
I'm just showing you that there is a rule very quickly before we're out of time. Government, civil leaders. Government does have authority. Can I remove myself from that authority? Yes. How? I move. Do we have scriptural example? Yes, Aquila, Priscilla. I put the reference there from Acts. They left Rome because of the conditions in Rome. And the next time we see them, they're in Achaia, which is Athens, Greece area, and then, of course, Macedonia. We even see them in Asia Minor, Ephesus area. They left a tyrannical government, and God still used them. So we have that. Yes, you can. You can work like we do. We work with politics, trying to change, you know, making laws right and all that. Yes, but if it gets to the place you can't, yes, you have freedom to remove yourself. But again, being directed by the Lord. Can a child remove himself from his parents' authority? No. Not that I see in Scripture. Can a parent provoke them to wrath? Yes. Should they? No. Are there kids in homes that say, I can't wait until I turn 18 so I can get out of here? Yes. There is an understood time frame in our general society that we understand where that shift takes place, right? That's where a man leaves father and mother and cleaves. That's a leave and cleave principle. It's right. So for a time, though, no, 3- and 4-year-olds shouldn't be leaving the home. 12- and 13-year-olds shouldn't be leaving the home. They are not ready. If you're connected with a good church, hopefully that'll help get some things right. Government can step in. Government, society can step in. I think they step in way too often, way too quick. But that can also be a part. Anyway, interesting discussion. Master-servant relationship, that's a work scenario. There's things that govern that. Can they leave those? Yes. You agree, like we have all kinds of things in the scripture, that one parable where they agreed for a penny a day to work. When that day is done, their responsibility is over. I can either choose to re-up that contract or move somewhere else. I can absolutely change who I'm under, servant-master relationship, but while I'm there, I need to fulfill what I agreed to and do right by my master. But when that term is up, I have absolute opportunity to find a different employer. Save lost. I put this in here because the lost are under the saved in the sense that they need us to witness to them. Can that arrangement change? Can the lost say to the saved, I don't want you to witness to me. I want salvation a different way. No. God's given the authority to the Christians to witness to the lost. And that does not change. As much as the lost may not like you and I that are born again, they may not like how we do it, amen, and all that. They can't find another means to be saved. The rule has been set. The ruler establishes the rule, and the ruler is Christ. Does that make sense? So that's how authority works. So as ladies, you might say, I just don't understand why I have to be under the authority of my husband. It's all about rule. It's not about order in the sense of who's worth more. It's about the rule, the order, all goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Amen? And so that's why it is what it is. I just wanted to explain that today just so everybody understands why that is. And ultimately, it's because you and I are sinners. We have a fallen nature, and we need to be ruled over. Because if we don't, we'll always take the path of least resistance and rebel against our Creator. Amen? We're way out of time. We need to pray. If you have any questions, please let me know. This brings up a lot of fun discussions, and I love engaging in each of those. But God does have answers to whatever question you have. Amen? God, thank you for today. Thank you for this time together. I pray that today's been a help. And Lord, that it's helped bring some things into a proper order in our own hearts and minds in reference to why you do what you've done, in reference to authority and order and rule. Bless this day. We love you. We thank you. We sure do need your help today in each and every aspect of this service. We pray all this in Jesus' name.
You have been listening to an audio message from McGregor Road Baptist Church. We are located on the southeast side of Indianapolis, Indiana. To learn more about our church, visit www.actonschurch.com. You can also call us at 317-862-3414. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you as you seek to grow in the Lord.